Welcome to the InSync Insurance Podcast. I'm your host, Dawn Cross, and today we'll be discussing marketing for tattoo artists with returning guest, Joe Sherlock. If you enjoy our podcast, make sure to leave a rating on your favourite podcast directory. So, welcome back to the podcast. It's really great to have you on for a second episode.
Thank you.
So today we're talking about more about like marketing tips, because obviously you said you've started your online degree and you've been doing a lot of the marketing for your own tattoo artists at the studio. So we'd love to talk more about like tips and tricks for tattooists, especially those that have to run like their own Instagram as well as do everything else on their plate. So could you tell me a bit more about how you handle the tattoo artists' marketing at Nomad Ink?
I will, yeah. I'd love to be able to say, right, here's a formula, follow that, and, you know, all will be well with the world. And it's taken me probably about 5 years to figure out that just isn't the case. And that's not for want of looking or want for trying. So I'm not going to I'll preface this with going, that's not what you're going to get, because I'm pretty sure anybody listening to this has already Googled that to see whether they can figure it out. And, you know, it doesn't exist. So I'm going to kind of approach this from the perspective of somebody who has tried and failed for probably the first 4 years, and it's only really been the last year that I've kind of made any headway. And actually what changed wasn't, you know, the platform I was using or the content I was creating, it was the approach that changed. So I'll approach the subject from there. I would say there are three things that I focus on when looking at marketing my three artists, and also bear in mind I'm approaching this as a studio, not as an artist myself. That is, first of all, absolutely first and foremost, there is no point in doing anything unless you have asked yourself, what is the point? What is the point? Don't spend your time, because time is money as a self-employed tattoo artist. Don't spend your time on any marketing unless you know what the return on that investment is for you. What is the return on that? And you can't possibly know that unless you know who your customers are. So number one is know your customers, know who they are, know what they want, and know where they are. And that includes also if you're with a studio or you have a studio with other artists in it, that also includes artists being your customers. And I'll touch on that a little bit later on, because I think it's quite an important thing to consider. When you're approaching marketing, the number one important thing I would say is to know who your target audience is. And know that that can change, because you can't set your like business practices and decide what your mix of marketing is going to look like until you know what that is, because otherwise you're pissing into the wind, essentially. Like, there's absolutely nothing. You're not going to find the right people if you're not looking in the right places. From a personal perspective, ours changed. So when we were at the beginning and it was just me and one artist, he was our portrait artist, he does big bespoke work, you know, that might take 3 sessions to finish, full days. It's expensive to get, you know, people are with us all day. The business practices were based around providing added value for those people. So we knew who his customers were and what they valued. They valued, you know, great service, a private room, very, very comfortable spaces. So TV, the best furniture you could buy, because you were going to be sitting in it for 8 hours at a time. The ability to pay online, pay it off in bits because it was going to be expensive. All those things. We set our business practices based on who our customers were at that time. And then over the years, we took on, you know, more artists who did different types of work. And kind of without me really considering it, our customer base changed. And I would say for the first year of that happening, I missed a trick, because it just hadn't occurred to me that all these things that I was telling people were great about our business, because you get a little bit wrapped up in what's great about your own business. So, you know, if you're an artist, you're thinking about what's great about what you do. I hadn't actually stopped to think that the things that I think add loads of value only add value to certain people. So our customer base had diversified. It still included the ones that were there before, But we now had a walk-in artist that could do, you know, quick tattoos that somebody had thought of spontaneously, or we had a colour illustrator whose turnaround was a little bit quicker. And I had to stop and reevaluate who our customers were and actually admit that the things that I was saying, these things are really valuable. They're thinking, well, they're not valuable for me. That's no good. I need a different set of business practices to add value for me. So I reassessed those, re-identified who the customers were, added the improvements, and then marketed those improvements as valuable assets in the right places. So whereas before, this was kind of back in the day where Facebook was a bit more relevant, but I would say Facebook and Instagram to a degree is where I found my customers. Once I'd reevaluated it and we had grown as a business, Instagram took a much bigger role, as did TikTok actually, and a few other places. So yeah, know who they are, but know that that will change as well. And don't do what I did and go, oh, you know, we're great for these people, and then go, oh, no, you're not. No, you're not. You've completely missed the mark. So I would say that's number one. That's how the first thing I think about when I'm trying to market my artists is, who are their customers and where are they? The second thing I think is about marketing your work in a way that reflects you as an artist. And I consider that as how it reflects us as a studio. So if you do, you know, very, I don't know, serene botanicals, for example, don't put heavy metal music behind your videos that you're trying to promote for your work. You know, if you do anime-based tattoos, make your edit and your audio, for example, fit what you do, because it's the whole package. People don't look at the beginning of a tattoo video and watch it just because it happens to be a subject that they like. They don't owe you that. Your customers don't owe you their time. You've got to grab their attention. So just make sure that the way and the places that you're marketing your work actually reflect who you are as an artist. Similarly, if you do all horror heavy black work tattoos, really think about the pace and the style of the edits that you're making. So I'll touch on that a little bit further, because there are tools that you can use to help with that. You know, you're an artist first, not a content creator. So yeah, know who your customers are, market your work in a way that reflects who those customers are and who you are as an artist. The third thing, and this is probably where this sounds like it's quite studio centric rather than artist centric, but I'll explain how this relates to if you're a tattoo artist. The way I approach the marketing of my artists is I market the studio separately to make it accessible, trustworthy and relatable, because people buy people. And I genuinely believe that customers will get a better tattoo with us than elsewhere. I have to believe that. It's from my perspective, that's true. Our artists are excellent. I wouldn't be in this business if that wasn't the case. So I had to put myself out there to build a studio people felt an affinity with, and the artists then who are looking for somewhere to grow and invest their career time are going to come to me. So similarly, if you're an artist looking to push your work, you need to be accessible, trustworthy and relatable. And if you are working for another studio, it's not your own, make sure they're doing the same, because it reflects. There's kind of no point in investing all your time and energies into your own marketing if your studio isn't reflecting what you do, if you see what I mean. So yeah, so I would say that really, I always try to make sure which artist it is. So I'll post something, make sure they know which artist it is. This isn't, you know, this has to be focused on the artists. It's only fair, they pay me to do that. And how you approach it will depend on your approach as a studio. So we want customers' trust, regardless of which artists are working here, which again, like I say, sounds studio centric, but it's not, because I'll explain. As a studio, my artists are my customers. The customers who get the tattoos, they're the artist customers. The artists are my customers. So that's how I approach it with my artists. So great tattoo artists are looking to exchange their career time and money with me, and they need a product in return and a room with a sink and a bit of a vague license with no restriction, you know, from your local council isn't a product. They can get that anywhere. They could set up a room anywhere they want. So purely from a marketing perspective, what they want is a studio with consistent and forward-thinking promotion activities that builds trust with their audience and then a service to back it up. And our position in the minds of our target audience has to align with the artist's work, and that takes mindful and strategic marketing decisions. So for us, I would say I make sure that I use professional equipment, I use professional software to film and photograph the artist's work for almost every tattoo. I then edit that work in line with how I plan to use it to further promote the studio and the artist. So for example, pictures, they're always simple edits. This is something all artists can take on. You do not need a lot of knowledge with kind of digital manipulation to do this, because you should not be digitally manipulating your pictures. Pictures are simple edits. Our posts, like board on Instagram, for example, is our gallery, I suppose. So I'm careful to make sure that I show fresh work, healed work, finished tattoos that are set against the digital design, so that customers can have a look at the artist and go, well, can they achieve what they're putting out as designs? That's really important. It's mostly only background edits, so I'll pull the like exposure and the clarity of the background down to, you know, put the artist's work front and foremost. That really is all it needs, particularly with color work. You can't really desaturate it anyway. Might take a little bit of redness out of the skin, but other than that, heavily editing your pictures in particular as a tattoo artist is completely counterproductive, because what happens then is you don't achieve that. You don't achieve what you've produced digitally, and then you've got customers who are unhappy with what they get. You can't missell your customers. You need to manage their expectations, because skin is not paper. So that's another tip that I would say. Stop doing that. Stop pulling your saturation. We can all see you've done it. It's no good at all. I definitely don't do that with ours. I approach our video edits the same. So I have a look at the footage and I'll think about, do I want this to be a short and snappy video? Do I want it to be a bit more longer movie-like with lots of transitions and audio layers? I might use the footage I've taken as a visual that sits in front of a funny or informative voiceover. There are lots and lots of different ways to push it, and then I'll post them at strategic times, kind of based on my experience, the different platforms. So that's how I handle it as a studio. If I was going to be an artist doing it on my own, that's exactly how I would be doing it. I'd be keeping it simple. I would be thinking about what I want to produce before I started filming it or photographing it, because otherwise you're spending a lot of time and you're not getting any outcome.
Definitely. I think it was key is what you said about editing the photos, because people could come around and accuse you of basically almost mis-selling what you can actually do as well, which could lead to like someone might actually sue someone over for, you know, obviously it takes a lot of work to get to that point, but you need sure that you're being as truthful as you can for this photo.
Yeah. And save yourself the problem. If you work in colour, for example, if you're pulling all the colour out of your pictures in that you're making it brighter, so you're making up in the vibrancy, up in the saturation, you've got to then achieve that in your next tattoo healed. You've got to achieve it healed in your next tattoo. So if you're shooting your images in RAW, which I do because I use professional camera, I use professional software, that flattens the images. You do have to rebalance it sometimes. I pull the artist in and say, does this look like the way the tattoo did when it was finished? And involve them in that process, because otherwise what I'm doing is I'm asking customers to come to them and giving them an impossible task. Because skin is not paper. This is not oil paint. You know, this isn't. Saturation is difficult, and you've got to be truthful about what your artists can achieve. If your customers are looking at actually achieved images, sometimes taken by customers because I share them as well, you know, no fancy edits. If they're coming to you and that's all you're posting, then you're obviously good enough. You are setting yourself up to fail if you heavily edit your pictures. You see a lot of black and grey work, almost taken in the dark. Like, you see these videos and they've turned the exposure right down because well, I don't know, there's probably lots of reasons for that that I won't go into, but they've turned the exposure right down, they've turned the saturation all the way down to black and white. And you think, everybody looking at that, you know the skin's going to be a bit red. It's a tattoo. They just sat for 8 hours and had their skin stabbed with lots of different needles. It's going to be a little bit red. Mm. So, you know, don't let the red detract from how good the work is. You can, you know, take some of that out as long as it doesn't change the look of the tattoo so much. But don't fully desaturate your tattoos. Nobody's skin is that white.
No, that's definitely key. So moving on, what platforms do you think are best for anyone starting out as a tattooist at the minute that'd be good for them to create an account on?
Okay, I've been a bit more specific with this because this, I think, warrants it. I'd be suggesting different things for artists and studios, but I'm going to approach this as if advising a tattoo artist who is either new or hasn't really gotten hold of their marketing yet. If you can have only one social media platform, if that's all you've got the capacity for, have Instagram right now. At the moment, that'll change. But support it with keeping your finger on the pulse of its algorithm and what's popular. There are some really great creators on YouTube whose videos are really going to help with that, because it is just not possible to do it yourself. You're a tattoo artist, you're not a content creator, you know, that isn't your job. So tap into people whose job that is and take their advice. There's a lady called Katie Steckley. She's probably my favorite on YouTube. She is a content creator and she focuses heavily on the algorithms and really usable hints and tips and tricks for particularly Instagram and YouTube. So check her out. Don't try and figure it out yourself, but just, you know, once a week have a look on YouTube in particular and see what people are saying. What that'll help you to do is to utilize all the features and tailor your content accordingly. So you're not looking to be a slave here to what Instagram have decided is going to be part of their algorithm this week that wasn't next week. Who has got the energy for that? Not me. But it just means that you can utilize and tailor your content accordingly. So you've got your stories, your reels, your posts, your featured stories. If Instagram has decided that reels are the thing that they're really pushing that week, just do that. Just stop fighting it and just do that, play the game. What you don't want to do is be doing that and actually they've decided that carousel images are the things that they're going to be pushing for the time, and you've wasted your time. So it's not in order to be a slave to it, it's in order that you're not wasting your time. Get your return on your investment. So if you can only have one, start with Instagram. Above and beyond that, what you have after that actually can depend on your niche as an artist. So artists who specialize in gaming, for example, or do like anime based tattoos, there's platforms that they can use such as Discord to really grow a community, but there's just no point being on there if you're not doing that. If you're doing portraits of old movie stars, you know, don't waste your time with that. Our piercer, for example, our body piercer, she's a cosplay creator as well. You'll find that artists are quite often creators in other mediums, and she is a cosplay creator. She relies heavily on TikTok, and that, you know, corresponds to her piercing work as well. So if you've got a niche as an artist after Instagram, think about that. Think about the platforms maybe that you use for leisure. It might be Discord, it might be TikTok. Think about those if you've got a niche. If you're not all as niche as that, and you could only have two platforms, and I am going to expose myself a little bit here, go to YouTube. We don't have one and we really need one. It's not something that I've got hold of yet, but there are lots and lots of people way more knowledgeable about this than me that are saying when all is said and done, YouTube is still growing, and particularly long form content, really it's the only place people are going to take any notice. Because if you're on YouTube looking for content, you're not looking for a 9-second viral video. You're happy to really absorb the content that people are creating. They've also balanced that out with shorts, which is much more closely aligned with like the Instagram stories and the TikTok. I would say if you could have two and you're not niche, have Instagram and have YouTube.
That sounds really key. And as well, I think it relates back to your first points with our first question. Basically, you need to be going where your audience are based at. and that includes what platforms that you choose, and you don't have to have all of them to reach them. You just got to be select, and actually it will be very fruitful.
Yeah, I would say don't have all of them. Nobody can keep up with that. This is my full-time job. I'm not even an artist. So when it's an artist's, when you're a self-employed artist and you're trying to do it all yourself, you just couldn't possibly do a good job on all of them. It wouldn't be possible. I can't do a good job on all of them, and it's my job to do that for my artists. It begs the question of Facebook, because that's one that people ask me a lot. Should I bother? The answer is I don't know, but I will tell you what my approach to Facebook is. Our artists have their own personal Facebooks and they can post to those however they like. I manage personally one of our artists' social media as well as the studios. And my approach to his Facebook is I kept it on a personal. There was no point going to business because nobody looks at it, nobody pushes it, you don't get any views, it's pointless. It's really, really good for people that you know vaguely or well, sharing your work, mentioning your name. If somebody goes, anybody know of a tattoo artist? It's great for that. It's not really great for anything else. I doubt I've had a new customer from Facebook in the last 2 or 3 years. They all come from Instagram and TikTok, really. So if you're looking to set up or grow, I personally would forget about Facebook. If you've already got a personal Facebook, you may as well use it. Post pictures of your tattoos. You know, people might recommend you, but I wouldn't get too stressed about that at all. What it doesn't mean, looking back at Instagram particularly and having to consider the algorithm and, you know, all that, there's a lot of faffing that comes with it. It doesn't mean that you're selling out to Instagram or, you know, getting on some bandwagon that values popularity over substance. But if you know what works, you can present your substance to people who actually want to see it. And your auntie in a different county on your Facebook couldn't care less about your substance, and you're already popular with them. So don't worry too much about that. I would focus elsewhere.
That's brilliant. As well, do you have any tips for how artists can build up their followers?
Yeah, I can. It's really, really difficult. It used to be, you used to be able to buy followers and, you know, that would be fine. Now, I think what is really key to remember is that if you are looking for a return on your investment and your time is an investment, remember that followers do not mean revenue. So don't get caught up in, oh, this tattoo artist has got 20,000 followers or 30,000, 50,000 or 100,000. Don't get caught up in that. Because if you do, what happens is you end up on this train of desperately trying to keep all those people happy, not losing followers and still feeling like you need to gain more. So what you end up doing is what is popular and not what makes you money. You're not here to provide free entertainment 100% of the time. You need to be entertaining, otherwise you're not going to have anybody watching you. And that's important, because then when you do post something that you're hoping generates more work, you need to have a reach. So you have to have achieved it somewhere. You have to have been entertaining and informative 80% of the time, so that when 20% of the time you're putting out, my books are open, look at what I can do, look at how magnificent I am, people are actually looking at it, you've got some reach. But don't fall into the trap of thinking that followers are going to make you more money, because they're not. Engagement is going to make you more money. So the thing to remember, I think, when building followers is to remember that platforms will change. What's popular will change. How people access and digest information will change. But what won't change is why people should choose you. Good content and good work. So spend less time worrying about whether you should be making a 9 second, like these viral dance videos on TikTok, and somehow weave in your excellent tattoo into this video. Spend that time perfecting your craft and presenting it in a way that when someone does land on you, they find work that's better than the other person they were considering, because they were considering somebody else as well. They're not only considering you. You're not looking to please everybody. You're looking to please the people who are looking for what you do. So be a little bit real. People buy people. So they need a face, and essentially as a studio, that's all I am. Artists tend to be quite shy, and I get that. There's a common introvertness about artists that I've met, and they find it really difficult to sit in front of a camera and to speak into it and to put themselves out there as the face of their own brand, the face of what they do. But I cannot insist enough that people buy people. And if people already feel like they've got a bit of a mate that works somewhere that will look after them when they come there, because of course you will, you know, I'm sure, you know, you're an excellent artist, you'll look after them. But if people already feel like they've got a bit of an in, they're going to contact you. If you're faceless but do good work, there's loads of good artists that are also faceless. So go be a good artist that's got a bit of a friendly face, and it makes you much more accessible. So yeah, balancing that with being an artist first, not a content creator, is quite difficult. But believe me, put your face out there, because people engage with it. They're the things that do the best. I would say, I would also say, don't be tempted by, you'll get emails and DMs all the time going, I'll get you 10,000 followers and it'll cost you this much. They're fake. And I'm going to tell you a story that we emerged on the right side of, and you'll be glad you did it if you did the same thing. About probably 2 years ago, I logged onto Facebook, and all I could see all over it was everyone going, oh my God, I've lost 10,000 followers overnight. I've lost 15,000 followers overnight. What's going on? What's happened with Instagram? And I'm thinking, oh my God. So I went into our followers, and I hadn't lost any followers. Actually, I said a lie. I lost two followers. We were small enough then that I knew exactly how many followers we had, and we lost two. And I thought, oh, well, whatever's happened with Instagram, that hasn't reached us yet. I wonder what that is. Anyway, later on that afternoon, Instagram released the fact, they did a press thing, released the fact that actually what they'd done is they had purged all the fake accounts they could find. They purged them all. So all these creators that had come out and gone, oh my goodness me, I've lost all these followers overnight, actually just outed themselves as being people who over the, you know, previous years had bought followers, and they were all fake. And it massively impacted them. And I gave myself a little pat on the back and went, well done, Joe. It's a few years ago. Your little 2,000 followers are obviously 2,000 people who are potential customers of yours, because they're real people and they're engaging with you, and that's why they're followers. Most artists are very good at digital art, so they're not going to have any issues using Photoshop, Lightroom, anything like that, particularly Photoshop, for putting adverts together. So picture-based adverts, not video-based adverts. That's all very well and good. Use Canva. It's not as professional as something like Photoshop, but it is super quick. And if all you're trying to do is put a collection of images together because you're trying to sell some flash, don't faff with Photoshop that's going to take forever. Go drop them into a template on Canva, or get Canva Pro. It'll cost you a tenner a month and make things a little bit more unique. But I cannot begin to tell you how much time that has saved. It also has a scheduling tool now, Canva Pro. So you can make them, you can enter them into the scheduling tool, and it'll post them at a time of the day that suits you. Use that, because what you don't have is hours and hours a day to create all this content. You need to get it out while it's relevant. And you need to speed that process up. So use Canva, and either use their scheduling tool or use another scheduling tool. If you're a one-man artist, you can use it to get them for free. So places like Hootsuite will let you do so many platforms with their scheduling tool for free. So if you're only looking to post to Instagram, and I don't know, maybe it is Facebook or maybe it's TikTok, you won't even need to pay for it. It just means that at 8 o'clock at night, when you're trying to have your tea, or you're trying to put your kids to bed, or you're trying to work on the design for the next day, you're not also trying to post your content online.
Oh, that's really key. And I wanted to say as well, referring back to people buying followers, last I read, Instagram does actually punish accounts that do just suddenly have a bunch of fake followers following them, and they will be shown less in the algorithm. So the discover page, where obviously where people go look at things or search for things, you would be less likely to show up, and then you're less likely to actually appeal to proper client or potential clients as well.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And the thing is, you can be shadow banned even for the most innocent of reasons. I have been. And what that means is they just stop putting it in front of people that are previously engaged and you don't know what's happening. You've got no idea why. Small things like not keeping on top of how many hashtags they're expecting you to use can get you shadow banned because Instagram will change it to, it used to be, you know, you did 15 hashtags is what you had to do. And then suddenly overnight, if you did more than five, they considered it spam. And all of a sudden you've got no engagement because they've shadow banned you. So if they're going to do that, they're definitely going to do it if you've got 2,000 followers one day and 5,000 the next week. So you're absolutely right. And so they should, really, because, you know, without that, then they haven't got any authenticity as a platform. So yeah, that takes the pressure off artists and other content creators, really. You're better off with engagement than you are. Like our Instagram stories, for example, we get about 10% engagement. That's actually really high. I would rather have my, you know, little 7,000 followers and 10% of them are engaging with our stories than 20,000 that looks a little bit fancy, but it means nothing. It's not going to make me or my artists any money.
Definitely. Well, is there anything else you'd like to add before we wrap up the episode?
No, I don't think so. I think, I suppose, just to round up, just add value. That's, you know, your customers don't owe you their time. They don't owe you their online time or their headspace at all. You know, everyone's bombarded with ads and everything else. Make sure you give in more than you're asking for. So give information, give entertainment. If that's what, you know, if you're like a funny, quirky personality and you want to do that, then do that. Give 80% of the time and only ask to take back about 20% of the time. So, you know, post your actual work with lots of captions about how your books are open and prices and trying to fish for work, much less than you think you need to. If you're going to post your work, it can just be with the thanks very much for looking, thanks very much to this customer. You are giving then. Don't always be looking to take because people switch off. So I would say that's one of them. And have a bit of a brand personality as well. Kind of be real, but not grumpy. I do. You see that a little bit. You see people, they'll call out certain types of customers or they'll have a certain political view. Or I've even seen racism and sexism on, you know, people's Instagram accounts. And you think, you know, have a business personality, but let's not alienate people. That's, you know, that's not helpful. So I would say kind of as a roundup, that would be it. Give more than you take, and focus more on your work than you do on worrying about what this particular platform's doing on this day or that day, because that's going to be the thing overall that people come to you for.
Definitely. Well, thank you so much for coming on today. It's been really great to pick your brains on the marketing side of Tattoo Studio.
Pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thank you to my guest today, Jo Sherlock, for discussing her experience and tips for how to market yourself as a tattoo artist. If you're interested in learning more about the studio, please visit the link in the description. I have been your host, Dawn Cross, and tune in next week for another episode. InZinc is one of the UK's fastest growing insurance providers, offering comprehensive cover for the SMEs and self-employed across the UK. Our expert team can tailor your insurance to meet your individual business needs and compare prices from a Lloyd's of London approved partners. We offer a 5-star service and have been FIFO Platinum Trusted winners 4 years in a row.